What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into a very special bowl preview show episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, your host, and we are so excited to be back with you this week after two weeks off, I think it was, with some busy times at the CUSA Football Championship game. What a great time down there in Jacksonville, Alabama. We'll talk about that there in just a bit. But first things first, let's get some housekeeping out of the way since it's been a while. If you are watching us right now, then you have obviously found us on YouTube. Thank you so much for finding the show. And make sure you are subscribed to Conference USA so that you get notifications when CUSA Insider posts a new episode there on YouTube. But if you are an audio-only type of guy or gal, you can still find us on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And we can be followed on social media. Also, you can find us on X and Instagram at CUSA Insider Pod. And as always, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at CUSAinsider@conferenceusa.com. All right. We have an exciting show here for you. All Conference USA bowls. Let's talk about them. Going into the weekend, we thought we were in four bowls, but guess what? We are in five bowls now, thanks to Louisiana Tech and the Independence Bowl. We have a lot to talk about. Josh Yonas here joining me, as always, and we are super excited to bring you our bowl preview show.
Yeah, excited to be here, talk some more football. I know basketball season is ramping up, but I'm nervous about whether or not, you know, someone's going to come take my seat once football season is over. So I'm going to soak in these, you know, these last couple shows here that I'll be in the spotlight.
You know, Clifton Douglas, our associate commissioner for basketball, was in here earlier talking about how he was sitting in this very seat talking about how he was excited to be on the show for basketball season. But we'll see, Josh. I'm super excited because as far as I know, this is the only comprehensive Conference USA bowl preview show out there. So there's obviously, you know, every school has their own podcast and they're talking about their specific bowls, but we're talking about all five today. And I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Super excited. And going back to what you said, it's been a crazy couple of weeks with the Conference USA championship going on. We had an awesome time in Jacksonville. It was really cool to see their stadium, the football complex that they just finished before this season. That's incredible. Yes. It's so beautiful. Every room is just, it's awesome. They did a great job with that facility. Jack State had a great crowd there, despite it being the coldest championship game in Conference USA history.
Which is absolutely crazy. There were several of us there talking about it, and we were like, there's no way. We've played games in Huntington, West Virginia. We've played games in
Lynchburg,
Bowling Green,
Virginia.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Lynchburg, Virginia. There's no way that Jacksonville, Alabama had the coldest game on record, but at first kick, it was 32 degrees Fahrenheit, which at first kick was the coldest on record. It's crazy. And it was cold. We were down there. Well, you weren't down there. You were in the press box. Lucky. Dane's over there. We were down there on the field the entire time. It was very cold. There was lots of hand warmers and lots of layers. But it was a really great game. Jacksonville State came out, showed why they were supposed to be there, and won their first Conference USA championship game in great fashion.
Yeah, and it was, you know, doing what they've done all year, especially the last 9-10 games when they've been on this hot stretch, is they've just run the ball well. They had the second highest rushing yard total in CUSA championship game history, scored 5 touchdowns. That tied the game's record. And it was, you know, that duo of Tyler Huff, Trey Stewart. Tyler Huff set a Conference USA record for most rushing yards by a quarterback in the championship game, dethroned Caden Salter from last year, actually. And then Trey Stewart, he adds 201 yards on the ground. He only had 11 yards after the first quarter and still finished with 201 yards in the game. So unreal. We talked a lot about Jack State's execution, especially in the red zone. They were 6 for 6 with 6 touchdowns in the red zone in this game. So it was just another really well-played, well-coached game by the Gamecocks. A great defensive performance for them as well, which, you know, hasn't been their MO all season, but they've had a few games here and there where that defense really steps up and can shut down some of the playmakers, especially in, you know, WKU's Caden Belcamp and Elijah Young. But it was a great game. I had a lot of fun. It was my first time at a Conference USA football championship.
That's right. I forgot about that. How exciting.
Even though, yeah, I'm going on year three here at Conference USA. So that was really fun. And we ate our way through Jacksonville.
Shout out to
Kyron Samuels, some incredible food recommendations, as well as some of the other people on staff there at Jack State. So Cooter Browns, though, that was where
Cooter
it was
Brown's
at.
Shack.
Oh my gosh.
That was so good.
Perfect game day meal to have before.
We ate a lot of chicken wings, everyone. It was great. It was a good time. But you know what? I'll tell you, going into that game last week, we had planned to do a championship preview show. We both got on site and it was just like, we got too much to do. We're not going to be able to sit down and do a podcast. So sorry we missed that for you guys last week. But I'll tell you what, I'm kind of glad we didn't, because I would have been really wrong. I would have picked Jacksonville State. That was my pick going in to win the game. But if you had told me WKU was only going to score 12 points, I would have told you no way. There's no way. And so I am glad that we didn't do a preview show, because now I am not going to be found on Conference USA Old Takes Exposed. But I did. We found out when we were sitting there in Jacksonville. I was like, I'm pretty sure I predicted this matchup back in like October. And we sat there at Cooter Brown's Rib Shack and went through all of our Conference USA Insider episodes and found it. It was actually our very first video episode. I think it was on October 26th or something like that. And I said in that episode, I think WKU and Jacksonville State will be in the championship game. And lo and behold, they were. And it was a good one.
Sarah knows a thing or two.
I'm just like really good at seeing into the future. But yes, great game. Interested to see, actually, this is a great segue, how WKU comes out after that 12-point performance in the Conference USA Championship game, to see what they can do in our first bowl game of the week, which is the Boca Raton Bowl, WKU versus James Madison. It's this Wednesday, everyone. So excited. Just 2 days away, 4:30 p.m. Central Time on ESPN.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, it'd be interesting to see how they bounce back. It's been kind of an up and down last few weeks for WKU. They had the loss to La Tech, which kind of snapped the their undefeated stretch in Conference USA play. They come back, they win the first matchup with Jack State to punch their ticket into the championship game. And then, of course, as we saw in the championship game, kind of a, underwhelming performance for their standards. But, I think in this one, it kind of bodes well for them to come back, on the upswing here. And this is somewhere, bowl games and WKU, those are just two things that go together.
They go hand in hand,
really
against the Sun Belt.
Yeah. you look historically here, this is their 10th bowl game in the last 11 seasons, 6 straight bowl game appearances, 3 straight wins. So Tyson Elton knows a thing or two when it comes to winning bowl games. And like you said, especially against Sun Belt foes, they have 3 wins over the Sun Belt since 2021. All have come in bowl games. So obviously the last being a historic comeback victory over Old Dominion in the famous Toastery Bowl last year.
Yep.
So we'll see what, Coach Helton can draw up again against another Sun Belt foe.
Yeah. And actually, I found this out too earlier. So they've won the last 3 against Sun Belt teams. If they win on Wednesday, a 4th one, they will be the first school in bowl history to beat the same conference 4 years in a row.
How about that?
So let's go Hilltoppers. Let's do it.
Let's make a little bit more history. Why not? despite the recent struggles, we know what Caden Veldkamp is capable of, and especially on this stage, right? Because Caden Veldkamp was the hero of that famous Toastery Bowl. He didn't earn QB1, but after TJ Finley did, he showed that maybe he should have won that job to begin with, because since then it has been just an incredible campaign for Caden Veldkamp. On his way to Offensive Player of the Year honors in Conference USA. So, I think this is one where he comes out and, shakes off, some of the rust a little bit in the last few weeks, and proves to everyone how he earned that Offensive Player of the Year title.
Yeah, for sure. I think that WKU had to do quite a few things in this game to make sure that they come out with a win. One of them being Caden Veldkamp performing at his normal, game plan. But also I think that turnovers are going to be a big deal. James Madison, number one nationally in turnover margin. So that's going to be a huge one for them. And then also they've got to lock down, the run game. So I think that one thing that is going to work in their favor is that running quarterback for James Madison. I'm forgetting his name,
Alonzo Barnett.
Thank you. I knew the first name. How do I know the first name? Will not be playing in this game, injured in their 2 overtime loss to Marshall in the regular season. their second string quarterback also not playing this game. Don't know why on that one, to be completely honest. But so they are, James Madison will be playing their third string quarterback, Billy Atkins, who has thrown one pass attempt this entire season, and it was an incomplete pass. So we know nothing about him at all. And so that'll just be interesting to see. And hey, I don't know. We knew nothing about Caden Veltkamp during the bowl season last year either. So
that's very true.
We'll see what happens.
But we do know that WKU is capable of forcing a lot of mishaps against opposing quarterbacks. So for someone who maybe hasn't had a lot of that experience, you know, going back to Alonzo Barnett, one thing that, you know, coming into bowl season, he was one of the best in terms of interception rate. So if he were playing, it would have been a much different story about whether or not WKU could manage to get a couple turnovers. I feel a lot better about that aspect going against a guy who only has one pass attempt on the year. And the the Dukes are a little bit in kind of
uncharted waters.
Thank you, uncharted. I was like, I know it starts with a U, and I was like, I cannot. Yeah,
I had no idea what you wanted to say. I just took a stab at it. And I got
uncharted territory here. They lost their last two games of the regular season. First time they had lost consecutive games since the end of the 2022 season. So they're obviously looking to bounce back a little bit themselves. But again, going back to kind of my original prediction, I do like WKU in this one in the Boca Raton Bowl.
All right. Well, James Madison is fighting for a lot. They're fighting for their first FBS bowl victory in program history. So we'll have to see how this one turns out. Before we go on to the next game, one other name I wanted to mention for the Hilltoppers is Elijah Young. We saw over the weekend, he declared that he is going to the NFL draft, but he had a great last couple of games there in the regular season, 100 plus yard game in the championship game versus Jacksonville State, despite the loss. So I'm looking to see really good things from him this week. As far as we know, he's playing. He was on the plane to Boca. So I do believe he'll be playing in that game, playing his last game as a Hilltopper as he's headed for the NFL draft.
Yeah. And I, you know, a guy like that, when you're in an offense like WKU's, for him to be able to put up numbers like he does when they're a very pass heavy quarterback, you know, leaning offense, it's pretty impressive. And yeah, just seeing some of that film there of him, you know, I really like his chances to carve out a good role in the NFL. And he's just an awesome dude. If you go back and listen to some of the stuff we did around Media Day, we talked about some of his involvement in the NIL space.
Right.
He is just a very intuitive guy. He really knows his worth. He knows his brand. So when you kind of start to think about some of these NFL personalities, I think he fits in right there too.
But gotta root for him. Gotta root for him. So, all right, Hilltoppers, go ahead and pull that one out against James Madison. Be the first team in history to win four straight bowl games against the same conference. Let's do it.
That's a great note. Right? Normally, I'm the one that's pulling ones like this. I'm very impressed.
I might pull
floored.
Some fun ones out for you here, Josh. I took notes this week. Okay. So next game coming up on Thursday, December 19th, the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, Georgia Southern versus Sam Houston. That game is at 6 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2. And the Bearcats are playing for their first bowl victory in FBS program history. So I am excited for them, and let's see what they can do.
Yeah. And I mean, you go back to last year, Jack State was in this very spot, right? Making their first FBS bowl game appearance
in the New Orleans Bowl.
In the New Orleans Bowl against a Sunbelt foe. So, you know, if history's on their side, you know, go Bearcats,
yes.
Right? But yeah, after a 6-win improvement from 2023, they finished last year 3-9. We knew they were not a 3-9 team. You go back and watch those games. And we'll kind of talk about this a little bit more with La Tech later, where we talk about teams that are very, you know, just not indicative of their record. That was Sam Houston last year. They proved it this year, go on to a 9-3 campaign, only missed out on the Conference USA title game because of the loss to Western Kentucky, which allowed them to get in on a tiebreaker.
Yep.
But this Sam Houston team is very special, very talented. They lean on the defense. It is defense, defense, defense for the Bearcats. They lead CUSA and rank top 20 nationally in scoring defense, passing defense, pass efficiency defense, red zone defense. And then they are third. This is one of my favorite stats. Third in FBS in hard stop percentage. So for those of you who aren't quite into the weeds of football analytics here, that is possessions end in a turnover, three and out, or a fourth down stop.
Hard stop.
Yep, a hard stop. But that, and they are the best at getting those in a game. You look at the amount of just three and outs they force in a game. They are right there in the top five, top 10 nationally with all the big dogs. So that has been something that, I mean, even historically, you go back to some of their most, successful FCS campaigns, it has always been defense. Mm-hmm. When they were under Coach Keeler, that was something that he really emphasized, and that has carried true, into this year as well. So, and I think this is an incredible matchup for the Bearcats, especially in the run game on both sides. The Georgia Southern just does not really, they're not as keen on the run game, mm-hmm. whereas Sam Houston is battle tested in Conference USA, having to face some really impressive rushing offenses.
Exactly.
But against Georgia Southern, something they're not going to have to worry about too much. They can lean on the passing defense, which has been, as I mentioned, very stout throughout the season.
Yeah.
To really capitalize in that matchup. And then on the other side, Georgia Southern giving up nearly 180 yards per game on the ground. So it bodes well for a Sam Houston team that has been one of the better rushing offenses in the conference this season.
Which is crazy. You think about all of the rushing offenses we have in this conference with Liberty and Jacksonville mm-hmm. State, now Sam Houston. Obviously, Hunter Watson relies on his legs a lot. DJ McKinney, Conference USA Freshman of the Year, expected to see a big game out of him. And I do think, like you were saying, the defense for the Bearcats could be the linchpin in this whole thing. If they can win the game on that side of the ball, I think they can pull out a win against Georgia Southern. I work in college athletics, everyone, so I do not bet on any games. You don't bet on it. But I can tell you Georgia Southern is favored in this game, which I was really surprised to see personally. So we're just going to go out there and show them who's boss, and we're going to shock the world, I guess. I think that would be the best for us. But like we said, Hunter Watson went out midseason with that injury, came back, wasn't necessarily the same guy I think we saw in the first couple of games of the season. Interested to see after a couple of weeks of break whether he could have rehabbed his body a little bit, get out there, and maybe we see the Hunter Watson of the first like five games of the season as opposed to the last 5 to 7 games of the season. And I think if he can get his legs going, and he can pass the ball. He's had some great long balls this season, some great 20-plus, 30-plus yard passes that have gone for touchdowns or big gains. And so I'm looking to see him perform well. And I think if he can perform at a high level, that will definitely give the Bearcats the leg up. Obviously, the elephant in the room, Casey Keeler, no longer with them. He went on to that job at Temple, left the team in a really great spot, though, with interim head coach, offensive coordinator Brad Cornelson. So there are quite a few Bearcats in the portal, but as far as we know, the majority of them have decided to stay and opt in to play in this bowl game. So looking forward to the Bearcats playing in that New Orleans Bowl. Again, that game is Thursday, December 19th, 6 p.m. Central Time, ESPN2.
Yeah, and I will be there along with our friend Michael Barker. So
That's exciting. And Trey Stallings
from our staff will be there. Yeah, so I'm excited to I've got a couple of friends that actually work for the Sun Belt office there in New Orleans. Excited to go see a couple of them, go to the game that night. I'll be back home on Friday.
My brother lives there and everything.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's fine. Everyone.
So I'm excited for that one. And, I liked what you said about Hunter Watson a lot. I think, it's just a matter of, what Hunter Watson are we going to see in this game? I think he's kind of struggled to find a little bit of consistency, especially since he's come back from injury. But he's one that he's not in the portal right now. So as we know right now, like he's coming back to Sam Houston next year. So I think this is a pivotal game for him when you're kind of building momentum for next year, just trying to, cap this season off that may have been a little rocky for his standards. Is okay, can I just put a nice little bow on this year and go into next year knowing full well I'm QB1, I'm the leader of this team, and just how he can kind of just finish out the year and hopefully it's with a Bearcat win.
And one note for that too, when it comes to quarterback play with Sam Houston, Jace Bauer did enter the transfer portal and has opted out of this game. So if Hunter Watson can't get the game going, or if, God forbid something happens, who do we see behind him? How does that play into the game as well? So just Hunter Watson, go out there. Do your thing, man. Do your thing. All right.
I feel like last time I said, hey, we really need more from Hunter Watson, he went out and delivered. So hopefully I can put that out in the universe again for this one.
And really hoping for a Bearcats win, just because it would be history making for them.
Yeah.
Super exciting as a program. So looking forward to that one again on Thursday. We got three bowl games 3 days in a row this week, which is super exciting. The next one is the Staff DNA Cure Bowl. I looked at that earlier and I was like, the staff.
No. Yeah.
I feel like it's all one word. I was very confused. So the Staff DNA Cure Bowl, Ohio versus Jacksonville State, Friday, December 20th. That game is at 11 a.m. Central Time on ESPN.
Nice and early.
CUSA champions versus the MAC champions. Both teams who have also lost their head coaches in the last couple of weeks, which is an interesting little stat. Obviously, Rich Rod leaving for West Virginia, Tim Albin at Ohio leaving to be the head coach at Charlotte. So both teams operating with interim coaches. Both teams absolutely blew out their opponents in the conference championship game as well by 4+ touchdowns. So I'm excited to see what this game is going to bring us. And I really don't know.
Yeah, I know. And I like that we have this matchup too, when you're matching up, you know, group of five champions, because then you just get a little bit of a, you know, then it's more than just the teams, right?
Yeah.
Because then it's like, okay, well, it's our best against your best,
champ.
Right?
Yeah.
So I like that this matchup was able to kind of come to fruition. But, you know, when you're looking at the conference side, here, and shout out Stats Perform for the notes that we for bowl games. But since 2005, CUSA is 17-6 against MAC teams in bowl games. That's the second best record of any league against another conference in that span, behind the Pac-12 versus ACC. So our winning percentage is 739. Pac-12 versus ACC is 789. So not too far off. Hopefully with this win, I mean, I'm certainly not a math major. I don't know how many points that's going to bump our record up, but let's make it 18-6. That would be pretty awesome. But so obviously the proof's in the pudding historically, that against bowl team or against MAC teams in bowl games, the it's on our side. But,
yeah.
Jack State, obviously an incredible second campaign in Conference USA, ended with a Conference USA championship a week or so ago. They are the first team. I just figured this out this morning.
It took us a second.
It took a couple days to really, you know, figure everything out and verify it all. They are the first team in FBS history to have a quarterback and a running back each rush for more than 1,300 yards and 14 touchdowns in a season.
Wild.
What Tyler Huff and Trey Stewart have done. I mean, I've talked about them every week on this podcast, right? And I've said the same thing. What they're doing is incredible. It is historic
yes.
at this point. And there's probably a laundry list of records and records to watch that I could have listed. So trying to narrow it down to just the one and just a couple things to talk about them before the show was pretty challenging. But we'll see if they can keep it rolling. Obviously a lot of changes, especially at the head coaching position, mm-hmm. For both schools. But can they really finish out the season on a high note, a season that's already been a lot of highs for them in the last 10 weeks?
Yeah, I think one thing that is interesting when I was looking at this game is that both of these teams are I wouldn't say evenly matched on the run game, but they both have very much rush heavy quarterbacks that mm-hmm. like to use their legs. Let's see, Ohio's Parker Navarro, multiple rushing touchdowns in 4 straight games. So when you look at what Tyler Huff is doing, is it as good as Tyler Huff? No, I mean, Tyler Huff is insanely good. But I think that these teams are a little bit more evenly matched in this game, which I think will be very, very fun to watch.
Yeah.
You're going to see the ball run a ton. And I do think that because of that, this game has to be won in the trenches. Can Ohio stop the run? Can Jacksonville State stop the run? I know that looking back at a last couple of games, I don't have a stat for you guys, but I can pull out from a couple of games that that Ohio is very good at stopping the run. Can they stop Trey Stewart? Can they stop Tyler Huff? But those two guys are just absolutely insane, obviously breaking multiple records here in Conference USA over the last season and nationally with that first time in history stat that you just threw out. So
unreal.
Yes, I am super excited to see what this team can do. Obviously, Jacksonville State going for their second bowl game win in conference or in school history. And then the MAC, though, they're playing for a lot too. Like, what else does MAC have to do this year to like get their fans behind them? They Ohio won a MAC title for the first time since 1968, which is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And I know I have some friends actually who are Ohio alum, and they were very, very excited
two weekends ago. And I have like a little special place in my heart for that Ohio team just because of that. And it was cool to see them win their first MAC title in several seasons, but obviously cheering for the Gamecocks in this one. And I do think that they can pull it out if they can stop the Ohio run.
Yep. Yeah. That'll be a good one indeed. And then going into the second week of bowl games, we got the newly crowned bowl game here.
Yes.
That we weren't originally planning for. La Tech filling in the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl.
Yep.
On Saturday, December 28th, 8:15 p.m. Central Time. Yes. A late kick.
It's late, yeah, down there in Shreveport. but I'm excited. Thank you to Louisiana Tech for stepping up and giving Army an opponent in this bowl game. Obviously, there were some people out there that, you know, are saying, how did 5-7 Louisiana Tech get into this bowl game? Well, there were, I can tell you, I know there were some other teams that were reached out to before Louisiana Tech. They couldn't make it happen. Louisiana Tech, just an hour down the road there from Shreveport. And we'll talk about this, but Louisiana Tech is not like indicative of their record.
Right.
5-7. They just missed out on bowl eligibility this year. But Coach Sonny Cumbie coming back next year, that is for sure. So that, I think, is going to be a great tick on the positive side, on the pro side for Louisiana Tech. But they're playing a very, very good Army team who did just drop a game against Navy, which I think was a surprise to a lot of people, mm-hmm, after winning the American Conference Championship 2 weeks ago. So we'll have to see how this game turns out. But Louisiana Tech's defense, I think, is the story, as it has been on this podcast for the last several weeks. Can the defense stop that Army football run?
Yeah, and I've joked about this with a couple people in the office already. I was like, if we were going to throw out any team to try and fill in and stop Army's run, it's going to be Louisiana Tech, right?
Yep.
They lead the league. They're top 30 nationally in run defense. And again, going back to a comment I made earlier, that's a team that leads USA, a league that has two of the top three, because it's Army number one, Jack State number two, Liberty number three in terms of rushing offenses in the country. So La Tech had to face one of those. They got to dodge Liberty.
They dodged Liberty.
But they did have to play Jack State and face theirs. They faced Sam Houston. They faced a couple other talented rushing offenses.
And I had that as one of my notes, though. You look at that Louisiana Tech-Jacksonville State game and what they were able to do against Jacksonville State. If they can do that against Army, they,
yep,
at least make it a close game.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that,
sure.
You know, Jacksonville State, very, if y'all remember, almost lost that game. A Hail Mary,
yep,
to win it, and a missed PAT and then overtime. But we won't talk about that. So it was a great game. So really looking for Louisiana Tech's defense to step up.
Yeah. And I think regardless, you know, just going back to them, you know, getting the opportunity to play in this game, I think regardless of the outcome, it's a great opportunity for them to play right up the road. I hope a lot of their fans make the trip. It's an hour west on I-20.
Yep.
You have no excuse.
No excuse.
It's after Christmas. Holidays are over. Hopefully the family's all, you know, taken off. They've gone back to their homes. You know, get a ticket, go over to the Independence Stadium and watch this one, root,
yes,
on the Bulldogs. And then also with Sonny Cumbie, we know he's coming back. Ryan Ivey came out and said, you know, hey, he'll be back on the sideline next year.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a good opportunity for him to get them back in the postseason. It's his first bowl game opportunity, first bowl game for the program since 2020. It gives a lot of guys a chance to get that postseason experience. And I think no more important than Evan Bullock, who has been thrown to the wolves this year.
Yep.
A redshirt freshman quarterback who, you know, kind of came in just due to some injuries early on in the year, and he showed out all year. You know, obviously his numbers weren't astounding, but as a freshman who got thrown into this role, produced extremely well. And, you know, I've talked about this on a few episodes. It's, for me, it's been his performances on third downs.
Yeah.
He's such a clutch quarterback in those high pressure situations. And he's just handled so much this season really well. And so I look to him, you know, again, he's already handled some big games in Conference USA play, a lot of, you know, third down opportunities he's had to face. Can he handle another big challenge in facing a nationally ranked opponent, a team like Army, who, you know, obviously has had an incredible campaign this year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see. But
yeah.
I think he's impressed a lot. We hope he'll be back in a Louisiana Tech uniform next year to build on what has already been a great season in 2024.
Yeah, they definitely face a tough foe in Army. I'm kind of, this didn't dawn on me until you were just talking just now, but For a team to have to prepare on the fly like this, really getting 1 week less than some other bowl opponents to prepare for the bowl game. But when you think about it, Army kind of had 1 week less than everybody else too, because they had a whole other game to play this past weekend, which they lost. So it's going to be interesting to see how Army prepares for this game, knowing that their opponent has changed. But hopefully they maybe weren't really preparing for Marshall yet because they had a Navy team that they had to go out against. So now they're preparing for this Louisiana Tech team. One thing I wanted to share with everybody when it comes to the fact that Louisiana Tech got chosen as this 5-7 team to go to the Independence Bowl. I think that the folks over at Reddit CFB might be Louisiana Tech alumni. I don't know. It's possible. But they tweeted this out yesterday, and I just thought it was so perfect. So it says, La Tech flew under the radar, but is no ordinary 5-7 team. Their losses in overtime to Tulsa, New Mexico State, and Jacksonville State. And we talked about that Jacksonville State game earlier. And if you watched that Tulsa game, that was also ridiculous. They were so close to winning that one. By one score against FIU and Sam Houston, they were tied with NC State in the fourth quarter. They only lost that game by 10 points. So that was a great game. And then they held Arkansas, SEC Arkansas, scoreless for 24 whole minutes. So excited to see them get the opportunity to finish out their season on a high note, knowing their coach is coming back with the freshman quarterback, hopefully getting some more experience under him in his first bowl appearance. So I think this would be a fun one for Louisiana Tech. Don't know if they'll win it. Army is a very, very good football team. What's their quarterback's name?
Bryson Daly.
Daly. I almost said Bailey. Bryson Daly is an absolute beast.
Him and then running back Kanye Udo or Udo, however you say his last name. They are, you know, when you talk about backfield duos across the country this year, it's a two-man race. It's Tyler Huff and Trey Stewart, and it's Bryson Daly and Kanye Udo.
It's wild.
What the two of them have done for Army this year. And I just think it's really cool too, just going back to, you know, them, you talked about them winning the American title. They joined as an affiliate member, so I believe this is their first year in the American. This is their first conference title in the program's 134-year history.
Isn't that wild?
Which, I mean, it isn't super surprising when you realize that a lot of that time was spent as an independent. They were a member of Conference USA at one point, for those of you who didn't know. But yeah, I just thought that was kind of cool. Like, and you know, you, when everyone was talking about, oh, you know, they're going to have to play the, you know, American championship, and then they still have a game against Navy the week after, and just kind of that weird scheduling. And, you know, if they had been in the race for the playoff, you know, that game wouldn't have been considered, which is kind of wild, because imagine if they were the G5 team in the playoff and then they turned around and lost to Navy. yeah, it would kind of be like an empty celebration for Navy. Like, hey, we should be in the playoff. Right. We just beat the team that's in the playoff.
Is Army Navy ever an empty celebration, though?
Well,
that game is the
true.
Best
yeah,
thing
there's
ever.
way more on the line in that game than anything that's changed in college athletics. Yeah. But I just thought that was kind of interesting. But then we finish out our bowl slate with the Bahamas Bowl out there in Nassau on Saturday, January 4th, 10 a.m. Central, even earlier than the Cure Bowl. So you got to get up nice and early for that one on ESPN2. The sixth straight bowl appearance for Liberty, and another chance, going back to that record against the MAC, another chance for us to get another win over a MAC team in a bowl game. So we'll see what happens in this one.
Buffalo, no stranger to the Bahamas Bowl, by the way. They played Charlotte in the Bahamas Bowl in 2019. They won that game against a Conference USA opponent. So we'll have to see if Liberty can come out and beat old Buffalo for this game Saturday, January 4th, which this is our latest game that we have. This is our last one that we're covering. I think the biggest story line here, unfortunately, for the negative for Liberty, is the fact that Caden Salter, Quentin Cooley, both not playing in this contest.
Yep. Yeah. So it'll be new year, new look
off.
New
year, new flames.
New year, new flames. And so, you know, they'll also be missing a couple key pieces of the offensive line. So really the biggest question here is, how well can Ryan Berger, you know, the duo of Billy Lucas, Von Blue in that backfield. We've seen what Billy Lucas and Von Blue can
absolutely
do just as complementary pieces of this offense, much less the feature backs, which they'll be asked to do for this game. So I'm not so much worried about them. I think it'll be more on Ryan Berger at the quarterback position, about what he can contribute to this game and kind of fill in for that dynamic duo. One stat I saw from Todd Wetmore, their SID, Cooley and Salter account for 77% of their offensive yards this season. So there's obviously a lot of pieces to pick up in the offense. But again, we've seen what a couple of their running backs can do. I trust that with some of their coaching, they'll have these guys ready to go. And hopefully they just look like every old Liberty team that we've seen over the last couple of years.
They're not losing a head coach. Jamie Chadwell is still going to be there in Lynchburg. I know that that one was one that with a lot of people were throwing out that name for opening coaching positions and the coaching carousel in the last couple of weeks and months. So Chadwell's still there. And then, yeah, I think that this length of time to be able to prepare can either be a great thing or not so great thing when it comes to these bowl games. But I think for the Flames, especially having they're not beginners or novice or inexperienced in any way. They just don't account for 77% of their offense throughout the season. So just having those different backs back there controlling the offense in this game, I think it'll be good for them to have that amount of time for the practice and to get ready for this game. I am very interested to see how Buffalo performs. Very honestly, haven't seen a ton of Buffalo games this year. Just reading stats, though, off of what we have from our notes. I know that their quarterback, CJ Ogbonna, has seen a huge uptick the second half of this season, averaging 248 yards per game with 14 touchdowns in the last six games. So stopping him is going to be a huge key for the Flames if they want to come out and win this game.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, most of what I heard about Buffalo this year has come about linebacker Sean Dolak, who has been, I think, arguably one of the best linebackers in the country this year. He's got 159 tackles, 5.5 sacks, 5 interceptions with, I think, like 177 interception return yards.
Wow.
So if Reinberger does make a mistake and it gets in Sean's hands, you better get to him quick before he gets down the field, because that is one sneaky little specialty for him.
But for sure.
He'll obviously provide a huge challenge to this Liberty offense. It's already kind of a little disoriented, trying to figure some things out. So we'll see how they manage to take care of him.
I know A Sea of Red is doing their bowl preview show tomorrow. So if we talked about someone who ends up opting out, this is just like a general cover our butts statement right now. If between now and the next bowl game, which is Wednesday, so hopefully nothing happens between now and Wednesday, but you never know in this era of college football, if people are opting out, entering the transfer portal, any of that stuff, we're sorry. We didn't know. We try our best to cover that. Taryn is in here, actually. Taryn Johnson. He is our transfer portal specialist here in the Conference USA office. He's been trying to keep us up to date, but even then, we can't keep up with it all. There are so many in there. So it's just a new era of college football that we're having to figure out, but we reserve the right to be wrong. I'll tell you that much. If somebody's not playing, it's not our fault.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm super excited, though, for this upcoming week and then in 2 weeks afterwards for these Conference USA bowl games. I'm going to run through them real quick for those of you watching in chronological order so you can, you know, jot them down, put them in your calendar, whatever, DVR them. Do they even do that anymore? Is that a thing?
I don't think so.
YouTube TV records them so that we make sure that you know where and when to watch our CUSA bowl games coming up. All right. So first up, Wednesday. We have, is that December 19th? Is that Wednesday? December 18th.
18th, yeah.
December 18th, this upcoming Wednesday, we have the Boca Raton Bowl, WKU versus James Madison. That game is at 4:30 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. Next up, the next very next day, so exciting, we got three in a row, R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. That game is Sam Houston versus Georgia Southern. You can find that one at 6 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2. And to end out the week on a high note, we have our Conference USA champions facing the MAC champions in the Staff DNA Cure Bowl. Friday, December 20th, 11 a.m. Central Time. Wake up early. Turn on your TV. Tell your boss that you just need a second screen for the day so that you can watch the Gamecocks take on the Bobcats. Is that their
Bobcats?
Okay, I got that right. And that game is, like we said, at 11 a.m. Central Time this Friday on ESPN. Then go home, enjoy your weekend, enjoy your Christmas, watch some college football playoff games. I know that someone right here is very excited for one that's coming up this Saturday.
When I saw this lineup and I was like, oh, this is beautiful. I get, three straight bowl games, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then my Mustangs are playing Saturday morning at Penn State. It's going to be a good week.
Listen, I talk a lot on this program about Alabama. I do.
I've been dying for my one chance to bring up my alma mater. Isn't my one year I get
to
like
stomp on your one chance, because I also graduated from Indiana University, everyone. And we're taking on Notre Dame this weekend. And I'm super excited about it. Our first FBS playoff appearance ever. I mean, it's the only college football playoff so far. So super excited that for those Hoosiers, though. But once you get through your Christmas holiday, we have some more games coming up for you, and we'll start off with our Louisiana Tech Bulldogs playing in the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl there in Shreveport. That game is on Saturday, December 28th at 8:15 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. So you'll have to stay up late for that one. But do, I promise it'll be worth it against the American champions there and Army. And then to round it all out on January 4th, Liberty versus Buffalo in the Bahamas Bowl down in Nassau. That's an early game as well. Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Central Time on ESPN. So we've got a great slate coming up. I think, you know, we started with 4 out of our 10 members in bowl games. Now we are straight down the middle at 500 with 5 out of our 10 members in bowl games. We're super excited. Hopefully we go 5-0. Can't wait to see how everyone does and how everyone fares. And then we will flip the page to the 2025 season, which is absolutely wild. We are very, very much looking forward to it. All right. Next podcast. I think we're going to be talking some basketball. I'm super excited about it. I don't know what it looks like yet. I don't know if we're going to do one next week. I don't know what we're going to do in the next couple of weeks, to be honest with you. Everyone in this room is off very, very thankfully. Thanks, Judy. From Christmas to New Year's. So we have a couple of days off over the next few weeks. So you may or may not hear from us, but we will hit the ground running when we come back the first week of January, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Josh, thanks for everything that you've done on this podcast through football season. It's not goodbye. I don't know if you'll be with me through basketball season or not, but
I got to at least recap the bowl games. I got at least one more episode in me, and then maybe I'll just kind of tie in like signing day in February.
So you can just come back on. And then,
I'll keep finding ways. Spring football. I'll find ways to keep, weaseling my way onto the desk here.
Are welcome anytime, Josh. We very much appreciate it. All right, everyone. That is all that we have for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in to this bowl preview episode show of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. Don't forget, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a new episode. But if you like audio only, you can also subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Go ahead and leave us a review or a comment while you're at it so we can know how we're doing and how you're liking the show. And you can follow us on social media as well at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. And last but not least, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, recommendations, anything really that you want to tell us, you can email us at CUSAinsider@conferenceusa.com. All right, everyone. That is all that we have for you today. Thank you for listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph. That's Josh Yonas. And we are signing off.